say this much for the 2017 high school football season. It is keeping us on our toes and keeping us scratching our heads. A lot of that from what has happened on the field. It's been nothing, no semblance of calm so far this season. But this week, week four, what happened after the time it expired that we're probably going to spend a good deal talking about today on Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. Brewer, I've kind of been watching from afar. You've been more on the ground with the Canyon Springs Basic Brawl. I should clarify, you weren't on the ground as in at the game. Jesse Granger was there, hoping he could join us today, but didn't work out.
He was literally on the ground.
Yeah, he was literally there, took a video. You've probably seen it by now, but I know you've been following the aftermath a little bit closer. So I guess just start, you know, what are we going to see come out of this, and what are your feelings on kind of the whole disappointing way this game ended?
Yeah, so both the Officials Association and Mr. Mark Ratner and the NIAA, who will ultimately decide all punishments, have told me today that they're still gathering and reviewing the video, and then they're going to have to make a decision. And, of course, there's a video that Jesse Granger shot, but there's also going to be video from the teams. And they're going to have the hard job of trying to identify who was involved and trying to place blame. But they say that if more than three people go onto the field, then that is lines to forfeit. And so under that, clearly both teams had more than three people on the field. So you would say that they'd forfeit one game, which would be this Saturday. Games are Saturday this week. So it would be Basic Valley and Silverado Canyon Springs. Those games wouldn't go off, which – not only sucks for the kids who weren't involved on the two teams involved in the fight, but now Valley and Canyon Springs. And now if you're Valley...
Valley can't get a game.
Valley, yeah. They've played like eight quarters this year. And you played football, Case, right?
Yes.
What is it about football that gets this testosterone going? Because I know it's the hitting, but... at what point are you like, okay, I got to take a step back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough for me to say because I, you know, and I'm not saying I'm like an angel goody two shoes or anything and never been in a fight or anything, but I never had that feeling on the field where, like, I'm going to go after this guy. So it's really hard for me to put myself in that emotion where you're going to go after someone. I will say that, you know, one thing, I think any level of football, high school to even higher, is. You work so hard alongside guys and your teammates that I guess, I mean, all it takes is one guy that you feel like is being mistreated. You're going to make sure you have his back, and I guess things just escalate from there. The sad thing is, I mean, you just got to hope that, and I'm just speaking in generalities, not about this situation. It's like I said, I wasn't there. I've only followed it distantly, so I don't know all the details, but you got to hope that the officials and the coaches are, you know, keeping things in check. There was a breakdown somewhere, here, and it ended ugly for all parties involved. I mean, you got to hope that some of the adults are able to calm down the kids and make sure something like this doesn't happen.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously before we started our site at Las Vegas Sun, a lot of people know I spent, you know, a lot of time with the Henderson Home News. Started there at 19. I covered every Basic game, and there's nothing better than being at Don Taylor Stadium on game night because you get that true community feel. And when you look at, you know, the fight that happened, a lot of those guys that I saw on the tape that were, you know, trying to pull people apart were guys that I knew when they played for Basic, you know, and guys who I've known for 10 or 12 years. And I know their kids and their families and they're good people. And then I look at the guys at Canyon and I've been knowing them. You know, there's some coaches over at Canyon that I've known for 10 years and they're good people as well. And it just, I'm thinking, wow, we have so many people that I really admire and respect and I'd let my kid play for, right? That's when you start having kids, you know, you're like, yeah, I would let my kid play for Coach Gus or for Coach Cahill. And to see that it took off like this, and, you know, so 35, I think the number was on the personal fouls. And that's a lot.
Yeah,
four ejections, a lot of personal fouls, a lot of chirping. And you know, you don't want to put blame on anybody because you can't blame Canyon, you can't blame Basic solely, and you can't blame the officials solely, right? I think it was a combo of the situation getting out of control, and it's easy for us to sit here and play Monday morning quarterback, right?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly agree that it was a bunch of different factors.
Yeah, but with that many late hits going on, you would think that wouldn't you just want to stop the game and say, okay, we're not going to finish. And again, yeah. that's a reaction knowing that there's going to be some suspensions, and nobody wants a team to get suspended. Not the NIAA, not the Officials Association, not the Clark County School District, and certainly not the people involved, and you and I. And it's like, you know, playing Monday morning quarterback, you wish somebody would have stepped in. Now, also, last year I was at the – or 2 years ago, I was at the Rancho Vegas game and there was a fight. Didn't go on Deadspin. Didn't include pepper spray. And there's been many fights that have happened before. Is this one going to get judged case differently because it went viral on the internet?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you would hope not. You would hope that this is these are all handled the same way. I mean, they're all as serious as the next. And you would hope you would establish some way that, you know, you deal with situations that are escalating like this in the future. I don't know what more I can say except for that I hope it doesn't. I mean, it's just really a shame. I wish I had more strong feelings for it, but it's a sad thing that we're sitting here talking about this on a Monday instead of all the great athletes and teams that, you know, acted appropriately, got victories. I mean, this is so overshadowed everything. We haven't mentioned any other game. We haven't even mentioned Canyon Springs did win 20-15, which I'm sure probably won't – I mean, doesn't matter and won't even go down in the record books. But for a school that's really kind of tormented them on the field over the years, they pick up a victory. And, you know, to make it mean nothing by getting into this brawl afterwards, it's just such a letdown. It's so hard to talk about. And, I mean, I hope this is the last time we ever have to talk about one of these.
Totally agree. And obviously when the NIAA and the school district kind of lets us know what's going on, we will let you guys know what's going on, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, so I guess not to speculate, but it kind of seemed like a long shot that they're going to be playing this week in those non-league games.
If you go by the rule of thumb, which the Officials Association said, if more than three people go on the field, that is grounds for a forfeiture for the entire team. Well, clearly, I mean, I guess the only side argument of that is it was the last play of the game and you get on the field to line up, right?
That's true. I don't know how good of a side argument it is, but I guess that does have something to do with it. We will keep you posted if it's, you know, goes by the rule of a forfeited game or if it turns in to more than that.
Would you then just let Silverado and Valley play?
That's a good question.
Right?
Probably a more evenly matched game as well.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it's too bad for that. This is the thing we talked about, is you feel bad for the teammates that weren't involved, that they're going to be punished. I mean, that's just the nature of the business for this, but also the teams they're supposed to play. I mean, it's just not fair. We talked about this with the Lightning. You just have such few games in football that it's just really hard when one gets canceled for whatever reason. So I hope that we can come to some kind of conclusion that works for everyone, and especially the kids and teams that had nothing to do. I hope they aren't adversely affected by this.
But I mean, the thing for me is that both Canyon and Basic, I don't want the community to think bad about those kids and those players because they committed a bad act, but it's not their personality.
And I mean, they're still kids too. I mean, there's a lot
people
of
make kids, especially kids, make mistakes, but. Like, the thing for me is, like, so Friday night, I saw a kid get hurt at the game I was at. And after the game, I saw the coach of one team go on the field to pray with that kid, which I thought was awesome. And after the game, I saw another coach go up and ask the coach how that kid was. And I'm sitting saying to myself, man, I got to lead with this. This is cool, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell Case.
Okay.
Right, and
you're
then
telling me.
Yeah, and then the whole night gets taken over by what happened at Canyon and Basic, and it hit the internet.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to look like at high school football in Vegas or these two schools and say, oh, you know, they're trash or they're bad or their coaches are bad or their parents are bad. A bad act happened, and I think how it's corrected is going to speak more about those two schools than what happened on the field there. Like, for example, senior year, I'll never forget this, when I was at Shap, we got in a fight in the handshake line with Rancho. And the coach ran us, Case. I never ran so much in my entire life. Coach Minigill made us do the hell run. The hell, Case, it was called the hell run. And it was 2-some miles around the school, a bunch of stairs, and that was just like the warm-ups. Then it was like 10-10s, 9-9s. And this was as it's getting dark. And you knew then what you did, so that's kind of how they corrected it. So I just don't want, you know, and I saw that going viral, and I'm like, oh, my God, people from the out. I mean, it was retweeted by, like, NBA players. And I'm like, people are going to think that that's what we do here in Vegas. And, you know, just earlier there was a stat that there was 11 NFL players from Las Vegas. Only 2 from Gorman, by the way.
Wow, that's an interesting stat. Might change in the coming years, I would expect. When but for national
like, yeah, for major metros, we rated like 7th.
Yeah, we got to be pretty high.
So I just think there's so much going on. I don't want people to look at that one fight and be like, oh, Basic's a bad place or Canyon's a bad place. Because we know better. We know it's not. It just had a bad problem. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I think the people in this community are tied into it strongly. They know better.
I mean, Basic's been there since the war.
Yeah. And the other thing about the internet is there's going to be something else that's going to go viral today, tomorrow, the next day, and this is going to be forgotten by the people that aren't involved in this community. So on to the better stuff, I guess. The game you were at had to have ended up being the game of the week. Arborview, Faith Lutheran. Faith Lutheran controlled a lot of the game from what it sounded like. Ended up losing, though, 27-24. I mean, what a surprise. I think we both had Arborview winning by at least 3 touchdowns. And Faith, who we all expected to take a step at some point, seems like, you know, they were right there. They almost pulled off the upset of the season so far.
Yeah, Faith is a good team, and they do a lot of really good things. In their initial 3 games, though, Case, they've struggled in the fourth quarter. They've given up second-half leads. And, they came right out and they scored in less than a minute against Arborview and made a good statement, and they played good defense early. They created turnovers, and Arborview wasn't quite ready to be in a game, okay, because they had run and clocked to open the season, Las Vegas and Desert Pines, right? And so now all of a sudden they get to halftime and they're behind, and then they just start grinding and pressing and running the rock, and they were able to kind of pick up the pieces. The Arborview secondary did phenomenal. Isaiah Heron got hurt 4 minutes into the game, and they were playing with 2 juniors and a sophomore, and they kind of held the Faith Lutheran passing game in check. They only completed 9 passes, actually.
Wow, 24 points on 9. I would not have expected that for Faith Lutheran putting up 24.
Yeah, they literally drove right down the field. So Faith is the best 0-3 team in America. I use that on the picks if you haven't read the picks yet. I'm super impressed with what they do. Super impressed with the people over there. The Elijah Cody kid didn't have a catch.
Well, yeah, well, there's only 9 to go around.
Yeah, Arborview, listen, they're good in the trenches. I think I was more impressed with the way Arbor responded to getting smacked in the mouth than Arborview winning. I think that, you know, the way Faith just jumped on him, bro. And you lose one of your studs. The Elijah Wade kid got knocked down, not out, but down for a little bit. And to be able to just find the will to win when you didn't, like, you know, like UNLV is supposed to beat Howard by 50 points, right? And when you're not beating Howard by 50 points and then you find yourself in a game,
compress a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough to flip that switch. And so Arbor View being able to flip that switch and find a way to win, and I think Dan Barnson said it best, there was some hitting going on, bro. Some hat-to-hat hitting. And super.
Oh, I'm trying to get rid of hat-to-hats.
Yeah, oh, no hat-to-hat. Some shoulder pad to shoulder pad hitting going on, and had a great time at Arbor. As you know, Case, I live in Henderson. I like the Henderson area. I don't make my way over to the northwest to Mount Charleston much. Had a great time. Really enjoyed getting to talk to a few people at Arbor View. I met one of the coaches' wives who listened to our podcast. So shout out, hey, how you doing?
I mean, clearly, I'm sure everyone at Arbor View, they always have they're always unhappy with something we've said. So I'm sure there's something we just said in this 10-minute monologue that's going to fire them up this week.
Brewer showed up. It was, you know, I got that oil change when I got there so I could make it back home.
Yeah.
But it was just super impressed with the amount of people they get at their games, even though it wasn't their best attendance. And I'm super impressed. I mean, Faith, man, really impressed me. And I was it's a shame that one team had to win, but that's why we play. One team wins, one team loses. And I wouldn't want to play Arbor in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to play Arbor in the playoffs, obviously, but I wouldn't want to play Faith in the playoffs.
Arbor now going on 4 seasons without a league loss, and it's going to be put to the test a few more times. We'll see if they keep that switch on. Like you said, another tough game this week against Shadow Ridge, who has blown basically everyone out. They won 47-13 over Vegas. And Faith Lutheran tried number 4 to get their first victory. They play Palo Verde on Saturday.
And I love how Faith, no matter who they play, they're going to do what they do. Like Gorman in the playoffs last year, let's go, hurry up. Arbor last week, let's jump on them. So I love what Faith does. Shadow's an interesting thing here, Case. I'm glad you brought that up. So Shadow is beaten kind of a lower tier of competition, right? Dio to the Woodshed.
Yep.
Right? Last week, Vegas to the Woodshed, right?
Correct.
And who'd they beat in the middle? Somebody else to the Woodshed.
Coronado
to the Woodshed, even though they gave up some long passes against Coronado.
They gave up almost 30 points to Coronado. And in fairness, they were destroying Moapa Valley, which is probably their most impressive performance so far, because Moapa usually at least holds close with the bigger
programs. Moapa
programs.
Hadn't lost at home since, like, Bush was president, right?
Yeah, okay. The first Bush.
So is Shadow – because remember Shadow last year, I had him in the top 10. And they were great for like 4 or 5 weeks, and then they took a dive, right?
As soon as I showed up to see them, I think I talked about this last week, so not to rehash it, but they did not look like one of the best teams the only game I've seen them in the last 2 years.
So do you think Shadow is graduated now where they could take Arbor View, which, listen, they're kind of Arbor View light, if you will, right? They run a similar system. Their coach used to be on the Arbor staff.
That Dan Barnson coaching tree.
Yeah.
Growing.
They both wear Under Armour uniforms. They're both in the Northwest, right? They run – you're looking in the mirror. Is Arbor View – I mean, is Shadow Ridge ready to graduate? Like, right, we'd watched Arbor year by year get better and better, right? School opened in 04. They get better and better and better and better, and then they finally beat Palo, right? Because it was Palo. Palo was the team.
Yeah.
Darwin
had
him
running. Biggest moment. Probably still in program. I think they'd probably even say it's still the biggest moment in the program history.
Darwin's last game, they beat him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now is Shadow there? Is Shadow ready to graduate? I mean, we know Arbor View is still the dog in that division. But is Shadow knocking on their heels where they're going to give him a game like we'd expect from Centennial?
Well, if I remember correctly, Shadow, with their kind of collapse last year, they missed the playoffs, right?
They did.
I know they've been to the playoffs before, but when I think back to that Arbor View climb, I think they kind of – like 1 year they narrowly missed the playoffs. Another year they got in as a lower seed. I feel like Shadow Ridge is kind of in that territory this year. Like, to take the next step, they got to at least make the playoffs. As far as just this Saturday when they play Arbor View – I mean, I guess that's when we're going to find out, because like you said, they are clearly way better than their competition so far. So we need to see how they match up with a team that they're going to be, honestly, at a disadvantage against, I think. That's probably going to fire up the Shadow Ridge people. But
they are.
Arbor View, the program they've built, they're always going to be the favorite right now, no matter where you're playing at Shadow Ridge. So,
and here's the deal. Arbor is bigger and stronger than Shadow, right? Arbor is more proven.
Definitely.
Right? And Shadow, their signature victory is what?
I mean, something from last year. You mean this year?
Or no, just in their little run. They're still looking for that welcome to the party, beating a team that's better than them type of victory. Right? They're putting away teams that are worse than them and doing a great job of doing that. So they're ready to graduate, and they don't have to beat Arbor, but just give Arbor a good game, beat Faith and get the two, and then go into Gorman in the semis and give Gorman a game.
Oh, if they get the two out of this division, I think they have arrived.
Yeah.
Because with where Arborview's at, I think the two would be a great thing for them. But like you said, I mean, last year against Arborview, they lost 45-6. I think it's got to be closer than that, and I honestly think it probably will be closer than that. I've been very impressed. The other thing is Shadow has a lot of kids back that helped last year. I mean, they have some experience. I know Aubrey Nellums is kind of the star over there. He's averaging better than 10 yards per carry, and he was great last year. Cody Presser at quarterback, I think, is another one of their leading rushers. So I think this is a big moment for Shadow, and I think they're going to be fired up. This game is at home.
At 11 because of homecoming.
Right. I think to show their progress, I think they want to keep this game close.
What time does this game get over?
11, like 12:30.
Okay.
It'll be a little later than that, but I do. You would expect both teams to keep it on the ground. Although Arborview, they're not going to. I guess I'll just get on what all these teams don't like. Arborview's not going to like us saying they don't want to keep it on the ground.
Yeah,
they'll probably come out and throw 20
times.
Well,
I'll tell you
now.
What, Arborview slung it around, had some picks against Faith, and then they went back to their
misdirection. Yeah, and I know Arborview can throw the ball. That's not a knock against them. I just think you think of these two teams, and you think of their running games, no doubt.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you about another team. I mean, we didn't talk about this ahead of time. Usually, we kind of script out some of our navigation on this show, so this will be a surprise to you.
Okay.
Of the teams in the Valley, there's, what, 36 or 37 teams?
Something like that.
Which team is the biggest surprise?
Cimarron.
Yeah, good job. Bro, they're 3-0, and they've won close games. They've won games when they're down. I love what Corey Walker's doing over there. The George Trimble kid's been solid. Are they now, because the Northwest is stacked and packed, baby. Arbor, Shadow, Faith, Legacy. Those are kind of like four playoff teams, right? Where does Cimarron now fit in?
I mean, that's another one we're going to have to find out. They beat Centennial 31-28 last week. They're on a bye this week, it appears, and then they play Shadow next Thursday. That's a short week for Shadow. So yeah. I guess we are going to find out a lot about Shadow having to play those two games in 5 days or whatever.
Yeah, because games are Saturday this week and Thursday next week.
Yeah, I hate to even say this because I don't want to take anything away from Cimarron, and I think they've been great. And like I said, I came when Cimarron was still at the tail end of being one of the powers in town, so I like it better when they have a team.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think if you're projecting right now, just because of how tough the Northwest is, you got to say they're probably – I mean, they're definitely an underdog to make the playoffs. But that being said, we saw a lot of upsets in this division last year. They're getting their confidence up. They've won their first three games. I would not put it past them with the way they're playing now if they pull another upset or two and all of a sudden we're sitting here talking about them sneaking into the playoffs for the first time in what feels like forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, that was a big win for them over Centennial because we kind of – we're kind of expecting those two to be a little bit at the bottom of the division.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too early to call it an elimination game, but it kind of felt like that. Like we were going to find out which one we're probably going to pay a little bit less attention to.
Yeah, very interesting, my friend. So we've talked about Basic Canyon. We've talked about Faith Arbor. And there's only one game to talk about now.
I know what you're talking about, but I got to give a shout-out to Mojave 38, Moapa Valley 30.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, the Tywee Walker kid, bro, he's eating against everybody.
Probably player of the year at the lower level, maybe, in the conversation at least right now.
I mean, he would have to be.
Yeah.
He's been really good. to rush like that over Moapa, and I don't care who Moapa has and doesn't have, the kids are usually in the right place. That kid's had a great year, obviously. And Mojave, the Sunset 3A, obviously DP is, I still think, in a class of its own, but Mojave's got to be knocking on the door for the two, right?
Yeah, very impressed with Mojave. And I do want to say I was impressed with Tawi Walker from when he came to our media day. I thought, I mean, he did put up production last year. He seemed like a great kid, and it seemed like they were building their team around him. I just didn't know if he had the pieces around him. And clearly I was wrong. They at least have enough to block for him, be able to get some stops. So I would say a big shout out goes to Mojave. I know I've been one of their detractors on the year, but very impressed with Tawi Walker and the Rattlers. And I do think right now they're in that conversation for the next teams you look at behind Desert Pines, along with my Sunrise Mountain Miners.
Yeah. And they're in the same league, too, by the way.
I can't wait for that game.
So the three teams, yeah.
I've never been to Mojave or Sunrise Mountain. Maybe I'll make my first appearance whenever they play. Anyways, I'll let you do the honors. I think you were at the next game you're going to talk about as well.
Yeah, Gorman gets off to Schneid. They beat De La Salle. And I put on Instagram at RayBrewer21. That was kind of a bucket list thing for me to see De La Salle play. Right? Did you watch the movie at all?
No, but I know they did make a movie. And they had like an 11-year win streak, right?
Yeah, did you something read like the that book?
I did not read the book either. All right. Sorry to let you down.
I didn't see either, but you know me, I'm not a movie buff like okay. You. But Gorman looked like the Gorman of old. It was they're down 7-0. They still weren't able to really rush the ball that well. But they get a fumble on the backfield and a scoop and score from Adam Plant. And it was like instantly the Gorman swagger came back. And then DTR is able to find, connect on some long passes. And next thing you know, Gorman wins and it's 2-2. And Kenny Sanchez says that, listen, I don't know if there's ever been a schedule in America with the four games they had to open the season. The Matha, Mater Dei, Miami Central, De La Salle, all those teams were top 10 when Gorman got them. And they went 2-2. Which, listen, the bar had been set pretty darn high, right? Three undefeated seasons, a 50-some game winning streak, national championships on the wall. But 2-2, back when this thing was still growing, including the one against De La Salle, we would have been celebrating them, right?
Yeah, and I think that you see the respect for their schedule, and it shows that Kenny Sanchez isn't just talking to make the team sound good, when I think they're still like number 11 in the country or something right now, despite being 2-2. So clearly it's not just us saying the schedule is super challenging. I mean, to be able to take on what they did coming off a year where they lost as much as they did, I think we probably would have said at the beginning of the year that they would want to win at least three of them. But I don't think 2-2 is anything to scoff at. Because it seemed like from the little bit I got to watch and what I gather, it seems like this Miami Central team is – way better than anyone expected and is going to be a player on the national scene for many years now.
And not only did Gorman win Saturday, they won 30.
That's the biggest thing. I don't know how we brushed over that. I would not have been surprised at all Gorman, another home game. Obviously, their backs are against the wall. We know they're well coached. I would not be surprised at all if they won. I was stunned to see the 34-7 score. I mean, that's the biggest thing in this. So they didn't just win. I mean, they 34 unanswered points. What more can you say? That was unbelievable.
Yeah, so they go into league play on the heels of their best game of the year. So they get Bonanza Saturday at Bonanza, first game on grass all year.
Oof. Tough one for Bonanza. They got blown out by Green Valley last week, but Gorman right in position to win yet another state title.
Boy, I watched some of that Green Valley Bonanza game. Bonanza goes on like a seven-minute drive to open the game. Got some first downs they probably shouldn't have got. And then Green Valley just went right down the field and scored before, like, you blinked. Green Valley, the offense is pretty good, and they're quietly undefeated.
as impressed with the quarterback as you expected. I'm just going to call him the quarterback or AJ,
AJ
from now on.
Barilla,
whatever it is. AJ, was he as good as advertised?
I mean, I only watched one drive.
All right.
They sliced and diced him pretty good, though.
All right, well, Green Valley is going to be in some bigger games. We'll probably get out to see them here eventually. In the meantime, Saturday this week, time spread out all over the day, starting at 11 a.m. We already mentioned this game, but Arborview at Shadow Ridge, maybe the game of the day. How close do you think Shadow keeps it?
That's a good question. I think that Arbor is now going to be a little more alert after what happened against Faith. And I just don't know how that 11 o'clock start's going to affect the teams. You know, I also it's Shadow's homecoming, so I think some of the players are going to be more focused on the disco after the game.
The disco? Do any of them even know what a disco is?
Yeah. So I'm going Arbor 3.5 touchdowns.
All right, I'm going to say Shadow keeps it a little bit closer, but I'm with you on Arbor. Next game, while we were on the subject of teams on the lower level to keep an eye out on, Clark has now won 3 in a row.
Yeah, Clark. Great effort. They beat Desert Oasis in their league opener last week. And I saw, like I said, I think before, I've seen some film on them on Twitter. And they look like what they're doing. But when you go over to Sierra Vista, I still think the Mountain Lions are the two. I get Sierra Vista, which has scored 40 points in the last 2 weeks, the W.
Yeah, my bad. My mind is scrambled right now. I know Clark moved up like 4 years ago. My apologies. I'm looking forward to this game, though. Both 2-1 teams. Both look way better. They both lost in week one in games that are kind of confusing now.
Yeah, I mean, Sierra lost to Palo, and Arbor lost – I mean – Clark lost the
at Boulder City.
Who's banged up? I still got Vista. I said it at the beginning of the year. They were in the top 10, which I put together, and they're the second best team in the Southwest behind Gorman.
All right. Well, I will agree with you. I'm going to go Sierra Vista. I think they'll get the 2-2, but I think Clark has done some really good things this season.
Clark's better than I thought.
Yeah, nice for them to be just in the playoff contention in the upper level. Sorry, I even insult the Chargers when I'm not trying to. Moapa Valley traveling to Boulder City, who did not help me in our $5 game of the week last week. Pahrump Valley put the smack down.
You can't go to Pahrump and win. Boulder City, obviously, when you're a team that has a low participation, if one player goes out, CK, what are you doing?
You're struggling even more than you were before.
So when two players goes out, now you're shuffling your deck. Boulder City's been hit with some injuries, and you saw the end result there. Pretty ugly loss to Pahrump. Moapa, I think they go in there and get one for Overton.
Yeah, bad 2 weeks for Moapa. I got to think they're going to take out some frustration here. I say that Moapa goes into Boulder City and wins big. Palo Verde at Faith Lutheran, another game you could make the case for might be the best of the week.
Yeah.
Do you think Palo has a chance of stopping them? I mean, we've seen Palo's defense hold some decent teams down this year. Could they do it against Faith?
I think Faith finally gets off the snide and they get the dub. Like I wrote in the picks, best 0-3 team in America. I'm really impressed with that offense.
Yeah, I think maybe a little closer than you think, but I can't pick against Faith, even though I've picked on them a couple times this year and they've let me down. But I'm going to go with Faith Lutheran as well. Sticking in the Northwest, Centennial at Legacy.
Yeah, I think Legacy, I don't think they're as bad as the 32-7 loss to Liberty. You got to remember that Legacy had to play the league game Monday against Faith, with which they won, and we'll include in the picks
with Palo.
Yeah, they beat Palo, and then they could come back 5 days later. Well, you got to recover, start studying film, and now you're playing, you know, one of the powers in the town and the region at their place, and that's tough to get ready for. The Valenzuela kid wasn't too accurate. They weren't able to run the rock. They lost the game. I'd like to think it would have been different if it wasn't for the rains. They wouldn't have won, but they wouldn't have looked as bad. I think Legacy comes back in and really puts it to Centennial.
Yeah, and Valenzuela, despite having kind of an off night, still, I mean, 8 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this year, a bunch of yards. I still think he's dangerous. They have 2 guys that have rushed for over 200 yards, Isaiah Whitehead and Aubrey Washington. I think Legacy keeps it rolling here, despite that minor hiccup against Liberty. I'm going to go with Legacy as well. This might be another week where we agree on every game. Rancho at Chaparral. Chap lost pretty big to Foothill last week. We were wondering if they could keep it close. I guess we got our answer, no. But I think they're going to be the one doing the blowing out on Saturday.
Yeah, my Cowboys get back on track, and I got to find out, where is that game with where's the game with Moapa Valley? Is that in Moapa or is it at Shap? Because if it's
That's
at Shap,
let's check it out.
Yeah, if it's at Shap, I'm ordering the t-shirt. Oh, it's at Moapa Valley on Carla's birthday, my wife's birthday.
I'm just.
Do you think they?
I know you struggle with dates. I'm just very happy you know Carla's birthday. To be honest,
I know. I know. My daughters, that'd be work in progress. But no, I got. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. October 6th at Moapa Valley, big game. They have Rancho and Dio before that. So you think they're probably going to go into this game 6-1, 5-1,
5-1, and then, gosh, it's tough. That's a tough cross to bear going up there. But because if you're the 2, that means you get DP in the semis, and that means you're done.
Yeah, so that's something to watch. But in the meantime, we think Chaparral will win this one. Coronado at Las Vegas.
Coronado at Las Vegas. This one, because of my Las Vegas bias, you know how I pick them every week.
Mm-hmm. And I was it last year or 2 years ago, I was at this game, and Vegas was up like 28-0 in the first half because Coronado fumbled basically every play.
And then lost. Or did they win?
No, Vegas won. Vegas ended up winning like 35-13 or something.
Part of me wants to pick Vegas in this game, but, I mean, they haven't warranted my support. They've struggled. So I got the Cougs 2 in a row. They took care of Durango last week.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Coronado's in the tough Southeast, but I think we had them pegged to be the last place team in that division. I think that they're a little bit better than that now. I think that looks like Silverado's kind of at the end. I think Coronado, I mean, they put up some points. I don't know. They haven't stopped many people this year, but there's no way I could pick Vegas in this game based on what we've seen so far. So I've got Coronado as well. I'm not as even conflicted making it. I got to go Coronado. El Dorado at Foothill.
Well, Foothill beat Shap by 30. Shap beat Eldo by 30. I'll take Foothill.
Yeah, I got to go with Foothill as well. Oh, this is a tough game here. Talk me through it. Sunrise Mountain, my favorite team. They're going to Mesquite and Virgin Valley, who it's really tough to get a read on. They totally blew out Western last week. I think your bet for Western finishing second in the league is looking in trouble.
Yeah, I'm going to need some help, yeah.
But I had Sunrise Mountain in that pick. But I think we both had Virgin first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's head spinning right now. What's going to happen here? I think you can make a case both ways.
Yeah. I'm with you this week, Case. I'm on Sunrise Mountain. I just think they have too much. If they could find a way to slow down the tailback for Virgin, they're going to win the game. But Virgin did get back on track by beating Western.
Yeah, I just love this Sunrise Mountain team. I've said it all year that I thought some of the close losses from last year were going to reverse into wins this year. I think this is going to be a close game. I think Sunrise Mountain has a little bit more experience. Showdown both Trayvon Ward and Jaden Perkins. I guess I'm going to have to go Ward here. I'm going to go Sunrise Mountain in a close game, mirroring your pick.
It's going to be a good game, though.
Yeah, that might be the most competitive of the day. Maybe not the highest stakes compared to some of the other ones, but because this isn't actually a league game, right? Virgin Valley's in the in the other division. Yeah. But yeah, we're both going to go Sunrise Mountain, but we could easily see Virgin Valley pulling off that win at home. Bishop Gorman at Bonanza.
Yeah.
Gorman.
Yeah.
Times 2. Durango at Desert Oasis. I wish I could have talked to you. And didn't you take Coronado against Durango last week?
Yeah, they won. Though.
I know, but you after you made the picks, you were like, I really think I got this one wrong. And I was like, no way. Coronado's going to beat him. I wish I could have picked up a game on you by going Durango there.
Yeah. Durango.
I've got Durango as well. Del Sol at Western.
Del Sol. Their passing attack, granted it was Rancho, but if you look at the common opponent, Del Sol beat Rancho by more than Western.
Well, this is what got me into trouble last week. I felt like we needed to disagree on one game, so the last game I went with Boulder City. This week, I feel like this is kind of a toss-up. Western has shown some promise this year. Del Sol, I mean, yeah, they did get a win last week, but it's Rancho who... Well, that was who Western broke their losing streak with 20-0. Mm-hmm. However, Del Sol beat them 53-14. All right, that does it for me. I can't just disagree to disagree. I'm going to have to go with the Dragons. I think defensively maybe a fair fight, but Del Sol is a little bit more on the offensive side based on these scores. Don't know a whole lot about either team, but, yep, Del Sol for both of us. We're probably going to sit out the Canyon Springs and basic games for now, pending what happens. So, short week.
Short week. We'll take it.
That's it. Saturday. Keep an eye on LasVegasSun.com. We'll have updates all day on what's going on. Some of these good games. Looking forward to seeing what happens. And we'll come back next Monday to break it down. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.